So Ben and Dan have got running YouTube channels. We'll put links down in the comments. Anyone here, if you've got any questions that you'd like to ask any of us, just drop them in the comments. Today we've actually got it. We've got it reasonably organised. The normal, we just kind of just chat.
I think you might have spoken too soon, mate.
Well, we're going to be talking about motivation, recovery, injury, what's happened with the Oddballs Foundation charity run. We've got some trainers to look at, and then we're going to look at answer your questions. So, how you been, boys? Let's start off with Mr. Injury.
Oh, bleak, mate. Hey. Bleak.
So what have you been up to since the last live stream?
A lot of walking, and that's about it, really. I have done a bit of running recently. When did I go out? I went out on Sunday, just been, and then I went again on Monday. So that was a nice little treat. Sunday was okay. Just did sort of like a run walk thing just to ease back into it. But Monday was just awful. Absolutely awful. Instant pain, like straight off the bat. Like it just ached again.
For those of you who don't know, but Ben's had shin splints.
Yeah.
But did you mention your knee was hurting as well, though? Or was that just...
It comes and goes. It's not as bad as the shin splints, but I have a feeling that I've just got a weakness there that I'm never going to get over. Because twice I've had that housemate's knee.
It's your little feet, isn't it?
It's what? Little feet? Just leave my little feet out of this, man. This is real talk. This is grown-up stuff right now. Serious injury business. But, I think there's a weakness in my knee. I reckon that's the problem. And I just, didn't stop when I should have.
So how far did you go for a run?
I did 11 on Sunday. But I think I probably only ran about 7 of that. And then I did five on Monday. Did what?
Was that meters or?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What about you, Dan? You been up to much?
So since the last stream that we did, I've started my ultra training for my 50-mile race in May. So I'm on week 4 at the moment, and it's going really well. Just taking it easy, not doing too much too soon, and. Yeah, I think I would prefer to get to the start line a little bit under-trained than over-trained. So at the moment, I'm just going with the flow, day by day, week by week, adjusting as I need to. So I'm pleased. I'm pleased with how it's going.
Was it you said it's probably one of the best starts you've had to a training plan?
Yeah, I've never really had a consistent plan where I've gone out every single week in the same kind of fashion. I know my first marathon, I was winging it. My second marathon was a good plan. But I think I gave myself too many opportunities to dip out and just think, oh, it's okay, I don't need to worry about this session. Whereas this time round, I'm pretty focused on following the plan, and any mileage I drop on one day, for whatever reason, I pick up and make sure that my total for the week is as planned. And actually, so far, I've exceeded, even by a few kilometres each week, the total distance. So, yeah, overall, really, really pleased with it. But consistency is proven to be key, and it's something that I've never really experienced before. So I'm sort of quite, if you like, overwhelmed with excitement about the fact that it's working for me.
Yeah. Well, let me just quickly say hello to a few people. So we've got Laura's here. We've got Stephen here. We've got Reto here. We've got the Ditch Runner. So hi, guys. Thanks for tuning in. How's my start of the year gone? Well, it started off quite well. The first 3 weeks, 50-mile weeks. All going well. Run a half marathon PB on a tempo run. And then last week, it seemed to fall a bit. I don't know if I've been overtraining or I've come down with a bug. So I took about 4 days off. But this week, still not right. So I went out on Tuesday, I think it was, on a tempo run, and my heart rate was a little bit higher than it should be. So I think maybe I've got a bug that I'm just getting over, so I'm going to take a couple of days off and then try again. Yeah, it was that as well. You know, my Zimmer frame was slipping a bit on the ice. they don't really do any with kind of, you know,
some touch. Spikes or something for the bottom of the feet.
Well, you know, I just have to try that out, won't I? Mm-hmm. So the first topic is motivation. Obviously, you know, with the COVID, no races, and it being winter. How do you guys stay motivated? Obviously, it's not really a question for Ben, because that's difficult. But Dan, how do you manage to stay motivated to kind of What's your driving force getting you out and keeping you going at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think first of all, I'm really enjoying my running. Since I did the run with both of you, and since we did the 50K together, Ben and I, I've just been really enjoying my running, and I've been taking the pressure off myself, focusing too much on an event. And even though I've got this 50-mile planned in May, and hopefully it goes ahead, I also know that at this point in time, even if the race is cancelled, I've got a route in my mind of doing that 50 miles on the day or around that time. So I'm just really driven to give it a good go. And I don't think it's in last week's vlog, it might be this week, but I basically said, I'm going to give it one hell of a go. I really want to just take part and have a good time.
I thought you was going to cry then.
No, so basically, I kind of had this idea that I just wanted to get through the 50 miles and do myself proud. Now I want to do it and really go for it. So I kind of want to put it all out there and have a really, really great day. So I think that for me is motivating me. And I've had a really good start to my training plan, so I'm feeling good about it. So week on week, it's just really kind of building my self-esteem. And it's, yeah, given me a lot of drive, a lot of purpose. But overall, I'm just enjoying running. And I think the days that we've had together, just going out and having a laugh and getting it back to what it should be, rather than I've got to get this time, I've got to do this. If I don't do this, I'm a failure. It's just get out, have a good time, lace up. And the weather's been miserable. But hey, I'm just learning to run in the rain and having a good laugh with it.
At least you've got a good coat to take out with you.
Yes, there's a review on my channel if you want to go over and look at it.
And a nice blue cap with a nice long peak.
Yes, there's a blue long peak cap. I've recently retired my beanie, unfortunately, because the wet weather does not do well with it. But that might come back in the future. Wasn't endorsed by them, so they're dead to me.
Yeah.
Damn you, Hoka.
Yeah. Well, motivation for me is... my motivation was that I think I gave up too early when I was a teenager. So mine was my midlife kind of crisis. Can we say midlife at 42? Yeah, I suppose we could.
That's when everything was black and white, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I started running at 42 again, just to kind of prove to myself that, you know, I didn't give up too early. And so that's my main drive at the moment, to prove myself that, you know, I have still got it, whether I had it in the first place. And also YouTube. For me, you know, uploading regular videos, getting out the door, getting the feedback, that's what's kind of driving me at the moment. You know, that kind of weekly, you know, I say I'm going to do a 50-mile week or whatever, then I do a 50-mile week, when some days, to be honest, I don't actually feel like getting out the door. You know, I've been moving it from morning to afternoon, which isn't good for me because I like to go out first in the morning and get it done. Because by the time you come lunchtime, you think, oh, I'm hungry, I want to go, you know, I want some lunch now. But it's just too cold. You know, who wants to go out when it's minus, you know, what has it been, minus 3 or 4? Oh, come on.
Yeah, but I like what you say about YouTube, the accountability and things like that, because I feel the same where I'm already thinking about how this is going to evolve and what that day is going to be like on race day and kind of thinking ahead. And of course, people want to see the journey. I'm always transparent about it. I've had a day this week where I've had to switch things around. But at the same time, I'm accountable to myself, also accountable to the people that have chosen to subscribe and watch. And I think it's nice to have that accountability. And I always say to people, if you're not sure about how to keep yourself motivated, start a YouTube channel. It's going to be out there and you may choose to keep it private. But just to look back on your journey is quite nice.
Yeah, it's a bit difficult to be a YouTuber and... Sorry, Ben, you better close your ears. It's difficult to be a YouTuber to put videos out and not to be out there doing it. You know what I mean?
But at the same time, though, we can say that Ben is motivated to get back to it because he's missing it. And that's, again, he's not giving up. It's not, I'll just close a YouTube channel down. It's actually, this is part of Ben's journey. It's a small period of time in a career of running. It's no big deal. And it will come back. And this is quite a nice moment to sort of sit back and reflect. And we'll see this as part of the journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do like the Ben Parks videos, can't you? That comeback.
Yeah.
That's what I was out with injury. I was out.
So what you do, Ben, is you take your PB and then you do a training series to get back to your PB.
Okay.
So there's a little tip for you.
There we go. And you've got the same name.
Ben. Subscribe to my channel now to see that in the future.
So let's say so hi to more people. So we've got Michael... I think, is it pronounced Uwa? I can never, I know it's not written Uwar there, but I think his name's Uwar.
Yeah, I think so.
He went out on his next, what was it, the Tempo Next percent in the snow.
Madness.
So it's good to know they work, and he was still
he stayed up on his feet.
Cashing out the pages. We've got Heather here. We've got Chad here as well, all the way from the States.
Yeah, we've got a lot of the States in Heather.
It's good to have everyone here. So recovery-wise, how have you found recovery now that you've kind of upped the ante?
Well, I think we spoke about this before, about the placebo of recovery mixes and drinks. So I always use the Tailwind mix, always used it. But recently my blender lid thing broke, and I always have the mix with a smoothie. And it broke. So last week after my long run, I came back and I went to make my smoothie, wasn't there. Now, the next day, I personally felt like my legs were feeling more tender and under more strain than normal. I don't know if that's necessarily because of me not having the drink, but I've always done a long run, had the drink, the next day felt all right. And given that my mileage is pretty low at the moment, it was a bit odd to me. But I have been really paying attention to just doing a bit of stretching, a bit of foam rolling if I need to, just on specific parts. And yeah, so far, so good. But I'm very mindful that I do need to take it more seriously than just trying to get through it and hope for the best.
Yeah, to be honest, it's something that I need to do more. I'm not a massive stretcher before and afterwards. I rarely foam roll, unless I know that I've got, you know, a tight calf and I've got a knot in it just to roll out, because that does help. I don't tend to have any smoothies or drinks or anything like that.
Just ice cream.
My diet is pretty horrendous. Just any cereal, ice cream. For me, it's just about calories in, calories out. It's as simple as that. You know, when you're doing 50-mile weeks, I don't know how many calories I'll be burning. My metabolism is quite high, so I could be doing, I suppose, 4,000 or 5,000 calories a day and not put on weight or lose weight. But I think
depends on Britain's next top model.
Yeah. Britain's oldest model. Pardon?
But it's a model.
I am a model influencer. If you're new to this, this is a face that's been featured on many a Instagram feed in the last 18 months. So, you know, it's the way things go.
Your mum's saying hi, so hi mum. So basically my dad had shin splints when he was younger, and he said it was down to weak calves that can contribute to shin splints, to give it a thought. But I suppose it's because you've got weak calves because you're only supporting little feet.
No, I have noticed though, my calves are really, really tight, like 90% of the time. And that's probably because, like you guys have said, I don't really foam roll or stretch after a run at all. So, and I've got myself to blame really, haven't I? I've given myself a nice 2 month rest.
Yeah. All right. So Chad's asked a question while we're on the kind of motivation, recovery and stuff. He's asked what is our weekly mileage and what we're actually currently training for. So me personally, I'm up to 50-mile weeks that I've done in the past 3 weeks. And then last week, obviously, I dropped to 25, and this week dropped to 25 because I was just listening to my body. I'm doing 50-mile weeks on kind of low intensity, probably 90-10, so 90% easy, 10% harder, or even 100% at this time of year. Now, we're in winter. We're not training for any races. I could just sit back and tick over at 30 miles a week, but I've seen my best results at running 50-mile weeks, low intensity, and then that's how I knocked 2 minutes off my 5K time. Because a lot of these races are aerobic. So 5K is 90% aerobic. So yes, you do need to add a bit of speed work in, whether that's that 10%, 20%, or just doing strides at the end of, you know, one of your weekly runs. But the reason I'm at that mileage is because we're YouTubers. So, you know, I need to be putting out content of me doing time trials and running. You know, it's not ideal at this time of year, but, you know, whether it's me, whether it's, you know, other YouTubers out there, we need to be doing time trials. You know, you're not going to tune in to me every week, and if I'm sitting in front of my nice picture behind me over in the corner there and just talking about how you're going to stay injury free, you know, you're tuning in to watch me run. So that's my main drive for doing the 50-mile weeks at the moment. What about you, Dan? We know you, Dan. Yours is the 50-miler you got coming up.
Yeah, and I've got a 20-week plan. I'm on week 4. I started at about 40 kilometres for the week. I think this week's about 50, so it's going to be a slow build-up from there. I have run further distances in the past, but I'm just trying to do a kind of a slower incline just to avoid injury. Again, low intensity. This time of year, I can't really be committing to huge distances midweek. The weather's not there. The light's not there for it. So week 4 of 20 and just taking it easy, really.
Well, we've got spring coming soon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Chad, no, I've not broken 38 minutes for 10K.
He's useless.
I had it planned to do it with Bob, and Bob's a masters runner who can run a 36-minute 10K, and he's 69. So he's like world class. And on that day, the weather just wasn't there. It was, I think, 20-mile-an-hour wind, raining, and we just kind of gave up.
Blame everything else.
The last time I went out for a 10K was in my Tempo Next Percent on a tempo run, and run a 39.07. So I think for a sub 38 is definitely on the cards. I just need to find the right day and someone to kind of run with.
I'm around. Give me a call.
I think Sota's joined again. How you doing, mate?
What, Sota?
Can I ask you a little question, Chris?
Ask me or Sota?
No, ask you, Chris. So you've come back, obviously, you used to run, now you've come back. Are you surprised by your speed? Do you ever think, well, actually, this is I'm quicker than I thought I would be coming back into running? Because you're fast. Does that shock you, or you think actually there's more in me yet?
I think as a runner, I come from being 159 800 meter runner, 407 for 1500, was running 10 miles in 57 minutes when I was 16. So when I started running at 42, it took me a long while to kind of get to grips with how slow I am compared to that. I know, obviously, yes, I'm quick now, but obviously the mind still works as I'm that young, kind of whippersnapper. So I'm planning to do a mile time trial when the weather kind of picks up and hoping to break 5 minutes for the mile, which would put me 22 seconds off that I was, and that'd be 30 years later. So that would be an achievement. But I think when you've come from running, 800 of that quick, that in the back of your mind, you just think you're slow now. I know I'm not, but that's just how my kind of mindset is. And that's kind of what drives me to get quicker.
Do you think you've got a limit? Do you think there is a particular pace that you just top out at? Or do you think you can just keep knocking the second or two per mile off? And
I think I can get down to 35 minutes for 10K. Speed wise, I'd say I'm reasonably quick for my age, as in the lower end. But I need to actually work on my endurance, because because I was a quicker, I need to work on my endurance. And it's only in the past year that I've been injury free, because I've lowered the intensity and slowed down, rather than thinking to get quicker, I've got to go out and beat my PB. I've got to smash and run, and I've got to come back knackered every time. That's not the way to do it. The way to do it is just get consistency in, build up your mileage slowly, safely, listen to your body, and then you will improve over time. I went from my first sub 20 in, what was that, June 2020? And then a year later, knocking 2 minutes off my 5K. And that was all because I upped my mileage. And it was as simple as that. So I think you just need to train for your weaknesses, rather than training for, you might need to train a bit of both, a bit of speed and a bit of that. But for me, it's just endurance.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Because I know when we talk privately, you go out, you do your 10 miles and you're, some days you're like, yeah, felt great. Some days, not so much. But you're still consistently getting out there. And it's just been fascinating for me just to kind of see you improve clearly with your pace. And I just think, wow, that's it's great to have had that experience and to come back again and get it like a second time round.
Yeah, it's a lot harder this time. When I was younger, I was going to the track twice a week, running 5 miles at the weekend. That was it. I was lucky if I was doing 20 miles a week. So there's a lot more I've had to put in now but I can see within the next 2 years, I'll be getting quicker than I am now. So the nearer I am to 50, I think I'll be quicker if I just get the consistency. Because apparently you have a 7-year window from when you start running to improve, apparently.
Okay.
Well,
April 2018 is when I started my YouTube channel, started running.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fair enough, I suppose. And I've not really committed. Obviously, at the moment, I'm quite excited about this idea of going for longer distances. Never been too focused on the speed side of it. But I think, you know, the hand in hand, I'd like to do when I finish this ultra training, I'd like to focus on a little bit of speed, just do a bit of a time trial, 5K type thing, just to see if maybe over the course of a few months I can improve that 5K time, try and get under 20, just to see if I can do it.
But all we would do is you would do your training, I'll give you some advice, and then we would just set up a time trial, and I'll just run there and pace you.
Or I'd probably get Chris from Here We Are Running to do that.
Yeah, get a fast one to do it.
No, that would be great, because actually what would be pretty cool is I think I would be good at trying, knowing that you're definitely quicker than me. You head out for the 1 mile time trial, I just try and keep with you for as long as I can, and I think that would probably pull me along and give me a PB just because I'm trying to catch up.
Well, a lot of people get PBs. What they do is you don't look at your watch. So you run behind me, you don't look at your watch, but I'll be looking at my watch, just making the paces right. Because sometimes when you look at your watch, then you kind of panic. You're like, oh my God, I'm running this pace, I'm running too fast.
It demotivates doesn't it?
Yeah, and the gremlin set in, and then you end up obviously slowing down. So sometimes you can be out and you do look at your watch and you kind of think, oh, well, I'm running too fast, or I'm running too slow, or I don't feel good. But if you were to just go out and just run free and letting someone else guide you, then you could, you know, potentially run a PB. Susie's here. Hi, Susie from Susie. iRun.
Hi, Susie.
Hope you're well.
I could walk behind you as well, couldn't I, during that? You're at the front, Chris, setting the speed, and I could just follow along behind, walking.
You could just hold the bags or something, couldn't
as
you?
As long as I don't catch up with you, you're all right.
Because what we were looking to set up was the 3K time trial that I did against Chris and Here We Are Running when he beat me, is that we all do it. So we'd have myself, Dan, Ben and Chris, and then work out our 5K times and then put them in the calculator and we all set off at different times.
I don't think there are enough numbers to work out my 5K time. It goes up that high.
Yeah, so
interesting that would be.
So the next one is injury. So this is a good one for you, Ben. So I suppose we're not talking about actual injury, but how do you stay injury free?
You know why you're injured, though, Ben. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? You know how it happened. But you would know what measures to take to avoid it happening in the future. In the same way I know what happened to me when I got injured and what I needed to do continue to do to try and avoid it happening again.
Because Ben said his shins hurt. When was your shins hurt after that really long run? You said your shins hurt, and then I said to you, you can't do the ultra, and you were like, I'm doing it.
Yeah, so I don't know, because there was about a month I think between I did that marathon, didn't I? And then there was a month between that and the ultra.
Yeah.
It was like the week after the marathon, I think, I started feeling something. I went out with my dad and we did like half. And then I had a 2-week break. But I said during that, I was feeling it.
So in hindsight, would you have not done the ultra if you'd known what would have happened?
If I knew I would end up where I am now, then yes, I wouldn't have done it. I would have said, keep my £20. I don't want the medal. Thank you. I'd much rather keep
it. In future, when people say to you, you shouldn't run, then you're not going to run. And what has your physio said? Has he said it's a stress fracture?
He said it was a stress fracture, because of how localised it is, and the fact that I would get pain at night. Like when I'd be lying in bed, it would just ache. I mean, obviously, I haven't had an X-ray, but he would err on the side of it being a stress fracture because of that.
Yeah. So. Well, for me, I've gone just over a year now, touch wood, injury-free. and I was prone to injuries every 3 months. And then I was out for probably about 6 weeks at a time because of my Achilles issues. I managed to sort that out just by wearing Nikes, hence all the Nikes behind me.
Hashtag nonsense.
And that was because of the 10 mil drop. Anything lower than that, and I think it stretches my Achilles too much and caused me to have problems. And also Nikes are quite cushioned. Not as in the most spongiest shoes, but they've got quite a high, stack height on them. Also, the last year, I've actually taken advice from my dad, taken advice from Ian and a few others to actually slow down. Because the problem is that when you're going out and you're bashing, trying to beat your PB every week, or you're more at your kind of medium pace on every run rather than easy, you're getting into fatigue, you're getting into overtraining, and then you're not listening to your body. And that's when injuries come knocking on your door. And then just lately, I've been getting into listening to heart rate. So if you go on, say, like last week, I went on a run and I was about 15 seconds a mile slower, but my heart rate was still the same as the week before. So that said to me that something's not right. So whether that be overtraining, fatigue, stress, not enough sleep, one of them factors, it could be illness, I don't know. But as long as you take note of that, drop down the mileage that week, and then keep an eye on that for the next week, because your heart is telling you whether your body's stressed or not. So if you have a bad night's sleep and you go out for a run, I guarantee your heart rate will be higher. If you're stressed, your heart rate will be higher. And if you're overtraining or fatigue, it will definitely be higher. So I think it's a question of listening to your body, still going out, when your legs are aching and stuff. Don't use any old excuse, I've got a little ache, a little pain, I won't go for a run. But I think we all know when we're not right, and we all know if our calf has got a little bit of a niggle, get home, roll it out, you find that knot, it hurt, the next day it'll be fine. But if you don't stretch and you don't roll it out, it's just a knock-on effect until your calf goes and you'll be out for 6 weeks. So then that goes, that then knocks back to how do I improve? It's all about consistency and getting out the door every week. And if you're injured, it's not going to happen.
And you're sitting walking.
You do about 70 miles a week walking, don't you? Or something stupid like that. Is it 50?
Putting in the miles, mate. Yep.
You are putting in the miles.
It's mad. Absolutely.
Maybe you should be a professional walker.
I might have to start a walking channel. You heard it here first. Exclusive.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing, isn't it? Your recovery is being just hindered by that totally. Mm-hmm. It's not helping. It's not your fault. Fortunate to continue working in this weird period of time, but just the amount of mileage you do walking is nuts.
75.2 in the last 7 days.
And that's when we said about your footwear, that you were wearing, high stack shoes. You need to wear something a bit lower that's not putting pressure on your
is that high-heeled shoes? Yeah. High-heeled shoes.
So I've got rid of the stilettos. I've packed that in.
And now wearing flats.
Yeah. And now I'm wearing pumps.
So what about you, Dan? How do you listen to injury, or what have you been injured before and you've
yeah
beforehand? Yeah.
I ran for well over a year, totally injury-free, thinking that more or less it wasn't going to happen to me. Life was great. And then I just stepped off a curb funny one night. And that was it. The pressure on my kneecap just went like that, stumbled home. It was horrible, really, really awful. I didn't do anything with it for a few days. I didn't really know what to do. I went and saw a physio, the same physio that Ben has seen. And over a period of about 6 weeks, I think I documented it. I'm not entirely sure I did it all on YouTube, but did most of it. And he gave me some stretches to do, gave me some exercises to do, which I thought at the time would be quite difficult because it's still impacting my leg. But then weirdly, like things like squats, even though I knew my knee hurt, and I would walk and there'd be this like sharp little pain, and it was to do with basically the muscles around it were weak, and it just all came together at that one point. But I followed what he said, followed the guidance. He knew I was training at that point for my first ultra, which was due to be in April. And this injury happened end of October, the year before that. So I was still working towards this idea of April. But I was able to get to a place where I could run the Guildford 10K, which was about 7 weeks after I first got injured. And he said, actually use that race as a test to see if you can run. I'd obviously done a little bit before that point. And it was a good race. I was running a bit tentatively. And since that point, I've just been careful. And I do have my two rest days a week, Monday and Friday. And yeah. I'm quite happy to leave them in there. And yeah, some days I don't really feel like going as far. I don't feel like going as quick. And I just take it easy because at the end of the day, I don't have anything to prove to anybody. And yeah, I listen to how I feel. Obviously, like you said, if I feel a little bit tired, that's not my reason not to go out. Yeah. But if like that time, I think I mentioned it before, we had a chat, the Nike Pegasus shoes, the shield was causing me quite a few issues when I started running in it. It's yeah. better now, but when I run in it, it definitely, I feel the muscles in my feet. I think they're improving and they're responding better to it because it's just a different setup to the Hoka shoes I'm used to running in. And I wasn't sure at the time whether it was because they just weren't suited to me or whether my muscles needed to adjust to the way my foot lays in the shoe.
Yeah, that does make a massive difference. That's why I think it's key to have, you know, a rotation of shoes. I've got shoes from gentle all the way through to race, and they're there to serve a purpose. I wouldn't wear my gentle shoe to racing because it's not designed for that. And that's why I believe that you should stick to a brand that works for you and buy the shoes within that brand. Or if you are going to chop and change between shoes, then you need to rotate them regularly. And if you're bringing in a new, you know, a Nike and you're used to Hoka, then just wear them around the house for a week. Just walk around the house, just go out on a short run, just go out on a couple of miles, put them down for a couple of days and wear them again. Because we're all different, you know. Couple of millimeter drop here and there makes a massive difference. You know, the arch supports are different. When I wore my React Infinity Runs for the first time, my inner right arch hurt a little bit. But then after a couple of miles, I couldn't even feel it. So someone else mentioned about recovery and diet. That was Michael,
yeah.
He said about carbs and protein. I'd like to say that I have a runner's diet, but we all
ice
know
cream.
Ice cream,
chocolate,
cereal, chocolate. To be honest, I just see food as a fuel, and I'm a vegetarian. I get a balanced diet of, you know, protein, carbs. You know, I just try and mix it up, you know, whatever's made for me, really. So I think as long as you get a happy balance. Oh, Lee's joined the chat. Yeah, biscuits are good as well. As long as they're crumbled up in ice cream. Kind of see a pattern there.
Oh, you've set him off now. He's going to go and get some.
Yeah, biscuits in the ice cream are nice, yeah. But I think it's kind of just a question of listening to your body. And we were talking off chat, me and Dan, and you mentioned obviously my intensity points video. And that's something that you've taken in board, where every run has a point. So whether an easy run, a slow pace is cost 1 point, or an easy run at a hard pace might be cost 3 points. And the point system kind of hit home and made kind of sense to you. So is that something you're going to carry on going forward, or is it just something that you kind of just keep an eye on? Because obviously everyone's different and your points will change depending on your fitness.
I definitely found that by just being a little bit more aware of the types of runs I've got in the week, majority of them are just easy runs, different distances, obviously I've got a hill workout and a speed workout in there. But I'm coming to this long run at the weekend where my focus tomorrow is on time on legs and it's on elevation. So I know where I'm going with that route. It doesn't mean it's going to be as far in terms of kilometres. It might mean that my overall weekly kilometres is short of where I want it to be. But I know in terms of intensity, taking on the hills, going out on some trails, it's going to be a different environment and it's going to serve a purpose. And I can reflect on the week and say, okay, not as many kilometres banked, but more elevation, more speed, and actually overall intensity is probably a nice step up from where I've been before. It's been quite low key. It's quite an intense week-ish. And then next week I can just knock it back a little bit and then build it back up. I think in and out on a dip week by week, just making sure I'm testing myself but not overdoing it.
Yeah, and the intensity, are you just doing it on a certain pace or are you doing it on heart rate?
I'm doing it on pace because I don't have an I don't know if this watch is fully accurate. I've never used a heart rate strap. I would quite like to get a good
strap on.
I would like that.
Yeah, well, my Garmin's okay. I bought a chest monitor for £20 off of eBay and that worked fine. it was more or less, it was coming up with the same data as a watch. You don't have to have an expensive chest monitor. Just get a cheap £20 one, as long as you wet your chest before you put it on. And I think sometimes, as I mentioned to you with the watches, you know, before you put it on, just wet your wrist. Maybe where it's kind of slightly higher, so it's not on the actual bone, just slightly higher. Sometimes it just doesn't read right. And also, you know, don't always expect it to be right straight away, because one, you know, you're going in the cold, and it's kind of, I think it kind of messes with the internals until it warms up. And also, your heart rate will spike up if you're going out, and you're going out at your easy pace for the first mile. That same pace, you're going to have an elevated heart rate. So you're better off actually going out slower than your easy pace, just to warm yourself up and then get to your easy pace. Because I think that's where people have the problem on Mathtone. You know, they're like, oh, my heart rate should be 134. So within the first mile, they're running at 134 heart rate. When the problem is that if your heart rate's elevated to 134 at the start, then you're going faster than easy because your body's not fatigued. You're probably going at your medium pace.
Yeah.
So sometimes the first mile, go off steady, go off easier than your easy, just to, you know, one, warm up, and two, you know, get your heart rate kind of ticking over.
Yeah, I think I just need to do more work. I'm not confident enough yet to be able to say, yeah, I'm zone two running today. I think it will come in time. But the main thing is I just know how the paces work for me. I know that if I go about 6:30 per kilometer, that's going to be a super easy run for me. 6 minutes per kilometer, probably aiming for my kind of ultra average would be nice. 5:30 is more of what was my marathon pace. Anything quicker than that is more of a speed work.
Yeah. So let's move on to the next topic, which is the Oddballs Foundation charity run. Mm-hmm. So we've had to postpone that because of obviously COVID restrictions. We don't know when it's going to be lifted to six people and kind of meet up. I don't know if that's going to happen before.
Might be. March 8th, they're saying, aren't they, for schools?
It could be March.
Whatever else happens on that day, I don't know.
Yes, so I'm not 100% sure. You know, there was talk of, you know, pubs being closed till May. Who knows? I don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, we're going to stick to the regulations. We're not 100% sure, obviously, you know, how it's going to pan out, whether Dan's just going to run it all on his own.
I've got a few, yeah, potential runs of that length.
So, or it could be that maybe Dan will pull Ben around in a little chair.
The issue is we can't mix three households. This is our problem we've got.
Yeah.
So that is
what we need to do. We just buy a flat and we'll all move in together. We'll just crack on with it.
Yeah. Well, I just going to tell my missus. Is that all right?
Yeah. Yeah. Can I missus? Borrow some money?
Does she like that? Does she like that? Right,
yeah. Lisa, sort him out.
Yeah. So we're hoping to get on that soon, but as I say, we're just need to play it right. But it will happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we've raised some money, and you know, thank you to everyone who's donated. But we just have to kind of play that by ear. So Ben, so you're going to put, you've got some shoes, haven't we? We're going to look at. So
yep.
I'll start with the first one.
Yeah, you've got it there.
The first shoe that we've got to look at is the, I don't know if you guys can see this. I'm going to probably put this on as a big screen, see if we can actually, go anything.
Wait. Try it now.
Okay, we're going to try and get it bigger.
That bigger?
So, I don't know if that's any bigger for you guys. So basically, this is the Pegasus 38 that is not been released yet. Probably going to be released later on. Later on in the summertime. It looks, you know, nice shoe. The only difference is, I think, is going to be the heel counter. It's got a bit more padding around there because people were complaining about the heel slip. Looks like it's got a kind of breathable pocket on the heel as well, or maybe that's it.
There's something going on there with the material, isn't there?
They've changed the lacing system as well, because I think people were complaining that you can get a lockdown in the Pegasus 37s. So I think that's going to impress a lot of people. The only thing that they're not changing is the midsole and the sole. So for me, I found it quite hard for the first 25 miles until I broke it in. But the sole, I've got about 150 miles of mine and I can't even see any wear on them. So as a shoe that's going to last, you know, it's going to be a quality shoe. But I think the midsole is probably going to let it down for a lot of people. Because Dan, you tried them, and did you find them really hard, or did you just find them narrow?
I found them. I really felt the ground contact. Now that might be because I'm not used to Nikes, but I really couldn't get on with them, and I found them.
When you say you found the ground contact, you must be a hill striker then, because you've got the air pad in the front, right? So you're not going to feel the ground on the air pad.
Yeah.
I found that. Let me just grab a pair.
Oh, here we go.
No. So I found that.
I don't like that colourway. Go and get another one.
Which one do you want?
Showing off now, look. Out come all the boxes.
No. What about that colourway? Is that better?
Lovely. There we go. Beautiful.
All right. So this is classed as olive, although I think it's green and it has a red sole. So these have got about 150 miles in, hardly anywhere on the sole. You've got the AirPod here that you can actually feel. Up until about here, I would say that it's got good cushioning, but anywhere there backwards, it doesn't work. You really feel that there's no cushioning there. So maybe you were hitting on this corner.
Because maybe it just felt everything was just this constant.
Yeah. So you must be more on the hillside. So if you was to obviously wear something like the Infinity React, that's really soft on the hill, and that's really good for a hill striker because obviously you've got the additional lip over the back.
I swear they've got a different React in them.
So I can actually push that in and get my thumb right in there. I can actually, you know, really kind of squeeze that up. But if I try and squeeze this, but no, you know, I'm really struggling. So that's high density React foam. That's very soft. When I first wore these, I thought they were like slippers.
Nothing wrong with that, mate.
But they're only good for gentle to easy, though. If you try running any faster, there's no cushioning in this front bit here. You can just feel the road. They're not very comfortable at all. But they're designed to run slow, so... Right, so have we got any more shoes, Ben, that you're going to...
So the next one, we'll go with something unreleased. This is quite a small image. So I could probably get this bigger. There we go. Ready when you are, Christopher.
There we go. So this...
It's the Terrakiga 7. Right there, ladies and gentlemen.
And so this is Nike, is it?
It's Nike again, yes. This is the inside of the shoe. I couldn't find a picture of the outside, but basically it looks similar to that. And it has, I think it has Air Zoom on the front bit of the midsole, and it has a big white tick, I would imagine.
So you say this is more the kind of...
It's trail Pegasus running. It's trail running.
You say it's a Pegasus 37 for the trails?
It's the lower stack height of all of the trail shoes, so you're going to get a lot of ground feel with this, ground contact feel. I think this year they've changed it because before they had the Air Zoom pocket in the heel and they've moved it to the front like the Pegasus 37s.
To be honest, with the actual shoes that are having the airbags in the front, that I'm actually missing it in the shoes now when I wear them. So I started to wear, I think the other day I went out in the old Zoom Fly 1, which have got a carbon plate in, but I'm actually missing that air pocket in the front now. It's almost like it spoiled me on my other shoes. I wear them and I'm like, oh, they don't feel very comfortable in that area.
These are rubbish.
but the advantage of you having, you know, whether you've got, you know, the AirPod here or whether you've got... Obviously, your 10% where you've got this here, it encourages you to land on this area. So it actually makes you a better runner, if that kind of makes any sense. So the people that wear this type of shoe and don't get on with it, it's because they're not landing on this area. If you don't land on this area, then that shoe, the shoe's useless.
Yeah, but you've got Zoom X at the back of that, haven't you? Isn't that meant to do?
You've got React foam on the back bit here.
Oh,
and then I've got Zoom X all the way through here.
Oh, right, okay, so the other way
around. And then you've obviously got massive stuff. But obviously someone like Ben Parks, he's popped two of these now. So he's on his fourth pair.
Oh, dear.
So I'm hoping I don't pop them, but I say I've only run in them.
You'll have to eat less ice cream, mate. Add the extra weight onto the balloons at the front.
Yeah. Right, let's show the other one. So what's this one, Ben? This is the Endorphin
Trail. They are. Dan, don't laugh, mate. They're gorgeous, them. And they've even got the checkered flag on it for when you're speeding through at light speed.
Oh, I thought that was for a game of chess.
Yeah, or checkers.
Well, when you're getting bored on your trail runs.
Yeah.
So that, I just don't get it.
I think they're going to be very popular. I think they're going to like blow up, mate, honestly.
What, they blow up as well? What, they get bigger?
That's your tempos, mate, at the front, the little air pocket.
But what, so, what's with the design? What are they going with there? We've got
the checkered flag.
Their sort of the logo thing through the middle. The what? Yellow? But, oh, yeah.
What is the point of the yellow sole on a trail shoe?
You've got to have bright colours on your trail shoes, mate.
So you can see it when you fall over.
No, but it's going to be
stuck with your head in the ground.
Me personally, the only thing I find with the Endorphins and that sort of range is I don't like the colourways.
I hate their colourways.
You know,
weird, like Tic Tac mint.
Green, orange, all that is.
It's like if you go in your nan's house, that's what you expect to see, that colourway through our house. A mint green in the bathroom.
Have a bit of pink in there.
Exactly.
Chris, you must have seen a lot of that in your day, mate.
It was the carpet. It was the carpets and the sofas used to match.
It's everything brown.
And then I think before that, it was like a wallpaper that had kind of that kind of drug plant on. I don't know if you've ever seen that. So it'd be like a white wallpaper with the kind of a drug-type green leaf on it.
A drug-type green leaf?
What, a cannabis leaf. There we go.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
These ones, okay.
Are
what we're really talking about here, ladies and gents. These are my favourites. Now, these are the Noosa Tri 13 by Asics. I don't think they're released yet. They might be in the States. Looking at a retail of $130.
If anyone's watching this in the podcast, if someone was to eat a packet of Smarties and to throw up, that's what they look like.
No, it's a Zap ice cream. I told you that. It looks like one of those Zap ice creams from back in the day.
A Zap ice cream, it is quality, isn't it? I don't know if they still do them. Look at them though; they do look like someone's graffitied them or just they've been dipped in the rainbow.
Taste the rainbow, mate. It's the Skittle shoe.
So they would actually match your outfit, wouldn't they?
They would go well with the oddball gear.
So if you imagine
the colourway there, it's for the ladies.
I prefer that, to be honest, to the other one.
It just looks like it says no down the side of it, which is what I'd be thinking.
What does it say?
It says Noosa, doesn't it?
They've cut it off.
Yeah, but it's behind that Asics sign there. It's just creeping in a little bit. I really like them.
I'll take one for free.
Let's see what everyone says. Let's see.
Right, so
I would say it's an 80-20 split there. Everyone's loving them.
Yeah.
In chat.
So have we got any questions from anyone? Let's have a quick look. So is there anything that you boys want to talk about, or are you all chatted out?
I'm happy now we talked about my shoes, to be honest. I just wanted to share those with the world.
Is that all you wanted to come on for, just to chat about your shoes?
Well, I can't run, can I? So it's just all I've got is shoes.
Oh, can I talk about something? We spoke about it offline. But it's more just... I'm noticing, or certainly with me, I mentioned it to you before, I think with it's a new year, new start, all that stuff. Strava, start of this year was really killing me, comparing myself to other people. Never had it before, but you start getting a bit too engrossed in what other people are doing. And it was kind of, a week ago? Went through that little dip of like, I'm comparing myself a little bit, and I just needed a little reminder from both of you.
Yeah.
Focus on what you're doing. I hadn't really noticed it before, but I just think for whatever reason, I was scrolling through Strava, I started getting a little bit too obsessed with what other people's stats look like. And for whatever reason, I had a little dip in confidence. I think it's important to stick in your lane, focus on what you're doing.
Yeah, but the problem is, though, that when you're up in your mileage and you're running 50-mile weeks, and I know 50-mile weeks is towards the top of mine. I probably could go 60, 65 if I was all low intensity. But the thing is that you're on that tightrope with injury. So, you know, to run a 50-mile week and you're only running five or 6 days, you're pretty much going out between 7 to 10 miles every time you go out. So I think you need to train within your comfort zones, not worry about other people, because you will see people, you know, unfortunately come and go, so to speak. You know, they will pick up injuries, they will pick up niggles. And also, it's you know, this race you're doing at the moment, is it virtual or is it actually going ahead?
It's supposed to be going ahead. 250 people. End of May.
How did it work last time? So you was at the start line. We were still in lockdown, and yeah. I remember I went with one of my running buddies over to Guildford, and we'd done some hill reps up around St Martha's, 1,000 1K loops. Was completely knackered, and I remember driving past and seeing all, you know, you guys kind of doing your ultra. Did they just spread you all out, or did you just say, right, there we go, go and go?
So it was supposed to be that you put down a predicted finish time. Yeah. They then set you off in intervals of 30 seconds. The reality was that did not happen that way at all. We got set off in probably 15 to 20 second intervals. Within the first kilometer, I was overtaken by 15 people. Yeah. I didn't feel like I was particularly slow, but clearly those people were off and running pretty quick. They looked pretty confident guys, looked quite seasoned runners. Nope, never saw them again.
So how far was that one? That was
40 miles.
So I don't mean to be funny, but they're doing these 15 second intervals. How do you predict your time for 40 miles?
I didn't. Well, I got mine totally wrong because I was basing it on...
That's what I mean, is how do you predict it and then put everyone into 15-second blocks?
But also, the point is you're on single-track trails. People are overtaking each other. People are pushing past each other. You get to a hill, a single track, people are walking behind each other. It wasn't safe and secure. We were lucky to get away with it in the sense that it was a less severe time for the numbers. It was, for me anyway, I was very aware of what was going on around me. Other people just running like it was another day out. I didn't really enjoy the event itself. The organization of it wasn't something that I was particularly thrilled about, but other people raved about it, so maybe they're different experiences.
Do you think the organization wasn't what it was supposed to be because of COVID, and they were probably restricted by numbers because people didn't want to be, you know, do you really want to be standing there handing out water bottles to 250 people when every time that you come up to someone, you could, you know, contract the virus or you could be giving it to someone? And I thought about some virtual races. The ones in, where's the lake that everyone goes to? It's quite windy. Did Ben Parks do it?
Dorney Lake.
Okay. So that's always tend to be quite windy. And I looked at it and the entry fee was, is it always that steep or are the entry fees really high at the moment? Because
I ran there, I did this day where you could, it's a training run. So it's the run that people do before they do their marathons in April. And you could do 16 miles, 20 miles. And when I went, I think it was about £20, something like that. Yeah, and you just run around and just dip out.
I think I looked and it was about 30, 40 quid for me to do it. And it's like you've seen the ones on Goodwood, I think, as well. It's almost like you're running on your own, because if you put down your time correctly and you're going off in 30-second intervals, you won't actually run with anyone. You shouldn't see anyone. If you go past someone, you've got to be, you know, a certain distance. So I don't know. I don't feel comfortable running with, you know, other people and being that close, because we all know that once you get there, you're mingling with people, you're probably going to, you're going to forget, mm-hmm. and you're probably going to go
get carried away with it, wouldn't you?
You get a bit carried away. You finish, you got a pee, then you go and hug someone. You know what I mean? You know, what we've seen it been done before, and you know that's probably emotions take over. Yeah. So, someone said that obviously £38 on the day for a virtual London Marathon. I understand why people want to do it, but I can't understand why. So in fact, I'm paying £38 for a medal. Is that what I'm paying for? I don't get the virtual thing. Is that all you? That's basically what you're doing.
You're just buying a medal, yeah.
So for me, I wanna be it to be a race. I wanna the experience. I want the crowds. I wanna, you know, the whole experience. I couldn't imagine doing a marathon, trying to break your PB on your own.
Yeah, but why would you want to try and break your PB on it? Just use it as a training, like just a bit of, you know, just something to do.
No, but I don't know. That's the thing. Once you say it's a virtual race, then are your stats then going to be put down on, I can't think what it's called now. What's the power of 10? So if you do a virtual race, do your stats go on the power of 10?
I doubt it.
Or so is that actually classed as an actual race?
As a race. Oh, I don't know. No, because it's not really it's not time chipped, are they? It's not. You're going it off your own back. You could hop on a bike, yeah, couldn't you, and do it?
Yeah.
There's a lot of trust, yeah, in it.
Yeah, so the Dorney Lake, someone's put, if it was official marathon Dorney Lake, okay, so I think you're right. Reto's got to go now.
Bye.
So check out Reto's channel. He's an ultra running man. How many ultras did he do in a week?
Too many.
Was it three or three or four?
350s.
And each one were like 50Ks, were they?
Yeah. Madness. Proper hero. One of my faves is proper boy.
So Laura's in the same boat as me. We find out on the 8th of February whether we've got into London Marathon. So, you know, fingers crossed. There was also an email that came out that I could get entered into the virtual one for free, and then or get it discounted. I couldn't remember. But, there's no way that I'll be doing a virtual London Marathon. There's no way. And to be honest, you know, even when we're doing our oddballs, I couldn't imagine running. You know, I take my hats off. I'm not going to take my hat off because my hair's a mess. I take my hat off to you guys, you know, running like, you know, even thinking about running 50 miles. That is just like, you know, but I suppose it's the same as you want people run a sub X time on a shorter distance. I suppose that's the way you kind of, we're at different ends of the scale. Is that the way that you look at it, you guys look at it, or do you?
Yeah, I had a choice when I did my second marathon. I still didn't get under, I didn't sub for it. I wasn't really training as officially as I could do. Now I know a little bit more about it. So I had a choice whether I was just going to stick with more marathons, go quicker, or try and go a little bit further and actually get a bit more comfortable with running slowly, which I do prefer to run slower. So I've gone for the approach of going a bit longer, a bit further. We'll see where that leads me. But and also it's fun. Like I like, it's a nice day out. It's not like hell for leather, start to finish, absolutely knackered, and go home and think, Jesus, that was a long day. Rather than out about, looking at stuff, nature, whatever, taking it all in. And it's more of a journey. Quite like that.
Experience, yeah. Hi, David Lidstone. He's joined us. Cavuzzi must have finished early. That's why he's on here. How are you doing, David? Thanks for the follow on Strava. Right, so because the problem I find is that running slow, you have to change my form so much. It took me quite a while to actually get used to it. Right. So I suppose that's the same as you doing speed work, Dan, that if you try and go quicker, you have to change your form again, and that's when you probably pick up your niggles, your calves might hurt, your Achilles start hurting.
The other day I did my sort of like speed session. I did 5 or 6K, and it came out of 5:11 per kilometre. One of those kilometres I was down sub five, I was like 4:45, and I thought, wow, this is great. But then I kind of realized I'm not built right now to hold that, and I also slowed myself down because I just thought, I don't really know what I'm achieving here. I'm just going to burn out, so I just slowed it down a bit. But I thought, oh, for a moment it was quite tempting to try and just dive into it, but it's not my focus right now.
Well, as said to you off camera, what you need to do is just incorporate some strides at the end of your run. So once a week, you've been out on your easy run, you're not fatigued, just to build strength, do 3 to 4 100 meter ish strides at about 80%, then concentrate on your form, have about 3-4 minutes recovery, get your breath back, and then do the same again, concentrate on your form, getting your legs turning over, and that will help incorporate a little bit of speed work, get your legs turning over quicker, that when you do go to introduce, you know, a bit of speed work, then maybe think about introducing tempo runs first, then threshold runs, and then intervals. Don't jump straight into intervals from slow, because one, you're probably going to demotivate yourself, and two, you're probably going to pick up injuries. So if you just imagine it, kind of you're winding that cog up, you know, and you're getting quicker and quicker. It's like a bike going from your slow gear to your quick gear. Don't just jump from slow gear to quick gear, because you know, your chain's going to come off. You know, I suppose that's the way of looking at it. So that's my advice if you was going to do that. So are we pretty much done, guys? I know Dan's early and go on his long run. Have you guys got any more you want to add, or do you think we've touched everything? Do you want to ask any questions, anyone? Do you want to ask me anything? Do you want to ask Ben anything?
What did I have for dinner?
I had
a
vegetarian burger with cheese and chips.
Delicious. Any dessert?
Yes. Ice cream, cookies, and there was a pancake in there as well.
No. Incredible. Incredible. I'd love to see your weekly shot come in. It must be about 70 bags.
I'd say our weekly food bill is quite high. That's where it's all going. It's quite a lot. Yeah, well, it's for me, my daughter, you know, we're like eating machines. High metabolism.
Yeah. Excellent.
So, are we all done, guys?
That's it for me. I'm done.
He's done. Are you done, Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Dan's done. Well, I just want to thank everyone for kind of tuning in. As my mum said, it's always about ice cream. If I could have one meal, it would be ice cream. So thanks for tuning in, guys. Please check out Dan's and Ben's channel. You know, support them. They've got a great channel. Probably saw a little snippet of Dan's modelling career. But Ben was just waiting to press that button. But that was a few years ago. You know, Dan hasn't got the six-pack anymore.
No, the Greek god bod has slowly disintegrated into what I would call a more athletic physique.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're not working on the muscles.
Anyway, guys, well, thanks for tuning in. And what do I have to say? Onwards and upwards?
That's
or
it.
What do you say, Ben? What's your sign up? What's your sign up?
That's all for today. Take care. Stay safe. I'll see you on another live stream.
Yeah. How do you sign off, Dan?
Normally, like, love you, something like that.
You do, don't you?
Yeah.
No,
all right, anyway. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.